Hello, this is the Teach Computing Podcast. You're listening to me, Alan O'Donoghue. I'm a principal teacher of computing in Our Ladies Catholic High School in Preston. And this is the blog that I tried to record. It's not a blog, is it? It's a podcast. And I tried to record this podcast once a week throughout the academic year. And this is the first one of the academic year 2014 to 2015. What I'm planning to do in this episode is share with you some of my reflections on my GCSE computing grades, which I've just had recently received for my Year 11 class. I want to share with you some of the current developments that I'm working on. I've just been back to school a few days now teaching, and there's a few different things I'm doing, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about those. And I've got some new exciting projects that I'm working on at the moment. I want to tell you what they are and see if you have got some ideas about shaping the way that they're developing. So the reason why this podcast exists is I first started teaching computing in the year 2011 at GCSE. And I am happy to admit I wasn't a computing teacher beforehand. I've not done a degree in computer science. It's something that I think I had a bit of a fascination for it when I was the age of 11 through to about 14 or 15. And then didn't do anything. And then when I got to the age of about 38, 39, suddenly I got interested in it all over again. So a lot of things that I've discovered and done have been self-taught. I've networked with people who are developers, people who work at universities, like computer scientists, and I've made a fair few mistakes. But in the process of doing that, I've also learned some things that work really well. And I'm trying to share with you both of those to make it a little bit easier for other teachers to teach GCSE computing in particular. So what I'm going to do now, I'm going to just share with you some of my reflections on this year's GCSE computing results. Now, I think this is episode 265 of the Teach Computing podcast. And about 2 years ago, so in September 2012, I started recording episodes that were sharing insights into what I've been teaching with my GCSE computing class when they were in year 10. And this was the second group that I took through, like, the 2 years right through to exam. And over a series of, I don't know, there'd be about 80 episodes or something, where each week I was sharing insights into what I'd been doing in class. I would have mentioned quite a few times that this was a group of 26 children. There was, I would say, the full ability range was represented in the class. So there was people who I was really hoping and expecting were going to get A's and A stars, and there was some that I wouldn't be that surprised if they'd got an E, an F, or a G. Well, those predictions came true to a large extent, because when I picked up the results this summer, I tell you what. Before I tell you what they were, let me tell you a little bit more of a story. So, I'm a big fan of Computing at School, and I'd been on the Computing at School site, where they have a forum, and this was in the middle of August, around about the 15th or something, and one teacher had posted on there that they'd been online on the OCR Interchange site, and they'd actually seen their moderator feedback forms. And I'd forgotten from the previous year that you could do this. You could go online to see what they were. So that's what I decided to do. So I went to the OCR Interchange, and I logged in, and I clicked the thing to download both of the moderator reports, because there's two pieces of coursework to hand in, A452 and A453. And I downloaded them, and I was just about to open them, and I closed my eyes for a minute, clenched my teeth, and kind of, oh, please, please let these be okay. So then I opened them, and the first thing I noticed was a sentence kind of towards the top of the form that said, your marks had to be adjusted because they weren't in line with the examination boards or something like that. And my heart sank, and I thought, oh no, what have I done? What's gone on? But there was a box next to it, and this box wasn't shaded. It didn't have any marks in the box. I thought, oh, I wonder if that box is supposed to have a mark in it. So I quickly went back and I found the moderator feedback forms from the previous year, and sure enough, that same sentence was there. The box was empty, And I know that I didn't have a mark adjusted last year, so I was like, phew. So for one moment there, my heart stopped briefly. As I was reading through the information on the interchange, I realised that I could actually go online to download the grades that the children had been awarded the day before they were released to the children. So I waited till the, was it the 26th of August? I forgot the actual date. But I went on the day before the children and had a look. And sure enough, my predictions had pretty much come true. So about half of the class got A and A star grades. And then the other half of the class went from D, E, F and down to G. And there was quite a big gap in the middle. We had one B and one C grade. And apart from that, it was pretty much polarised, the class. Most of the class either got an A or an A star, or they got like E, F or G. Now, there's a couple of things there. Clearly, you know, to get so many A's and A stars in a group, I was like, yeah, that you know, that's great. But I've spent a lot of time trying to figure out and consider, why did some I was expecting to get C's not get D, you know, got D's instead? And I remember having some conversations with the children when they were in year 10, and some of these ones in particular that got, so at the lower end of the grade spectrum, I remember they were saying things like they didn't really feel computing was for them, they didn't realise it was going to be as challenging or as tough, they had different ideas about what it might have been like. So that's one thing I'm trying to do everything I can to correct. And then there was another thing where some of them were saying, so this one child said that that what he believed, others in the class also agreed with him, which was he felt that the teaching was geared towards the A and A star end of the range. Now, that disappointed me because that was his perception, and my perception was very different, in as much as I felt that those A and A star candidates, they didn't strike me as needing an awful lot of support. So I tried to put in a lot of support for the ones who were at the other end of the spectrum. So I ran a lot of after school sessions, but I really struggled because I had limited availability in the last teaching year because I was doing a lot of time out of school. So I was running these after school sessions on a Friday, and pretty much hardly any of them ever turned up. I would normally get about one or two. So that's something I'm going to have to do again, but I'm going to have to be a lot more persuasive and coercive in getting those to come to those after school classes. Unfortunately, I did feel that some of them had switched off during year 11, the ones who, you know, at the lower end of the grade range, and I felt like no matter how much I persevered and tried to say to them, oh, come on, you're going to do really well at this, they were nah, it's not going to happen. Being really defeatist. And I remember saying to one of them in class, saying like, look, come on, if this is the way you're going to go about it, if you're going to say I'm going to fail this subject, I will absolutely guarantee that you will. However, if you're prepared to do this, that, but anyway, that didn't seem to have worked with that particular child. So what else can I say? I'm still going back and digging into looking at different things, like the levels of progress made, and trying to figure out, but I've come up with a couple of solutions as well, which I'm going to mention in the next segment of the podcast. So I said that tonight's podcast, so because it is night time, it's Tuesday night, and it was the three sections: reflection on GCSE results, talking about my current things in progress, and then talking a little bit about the future. So I'm going to move on to talk about some of the things I'm currently doing. So I'm quite an early riser, and during the summer holidays I found I was still waking up at 5 or 5:30 most mornings while the rest of the family were still asleep. So I'd, even when we were camping, I brought my laptop along and I'd sneak out of the tent in the morning and find some Wi-Fi, and I'd spend about an hour and a half, 2 hours working on creating questions for GCSE computing. So what I noticed, especially with the class that I have now that are in year 11, when I've done these quizzes in the past where I've called out the questions, they've answered them in their books, then they swap books with their partner, sometimes they weren't being very honest when they were marking them, or very accurate. And in fact, when I collected in the results from some of the children, sometimes they didn't always tell me. And I remember one particular boy, and I'll call him, I'll just call him Matthew. And I went over to Matthew and said, Matthew, you said you got 92% before in the test. Did you really? And Matthew said to me, sir, no, I didn't really get 92%, but I was just a bit worried that if I shouted out that I got 20%, that they'd all laugh at me, and I didn't want that to happen. And I said, oh, right, okay, well, you know, that thanks for being honest. But I have started to realise getting them to, you know, vocally share their results might not be a very good strategy. So I've spent a great deal of time working with my colleague Joe, who's now also teaching GCSE computing this year. We've got two classes this year, so we've gone from like half a class to a full class, and now we have two classes this year. And Joe and I, we were talking about how we could solve some of these problems. So I've created all of these quizzes in our Moodle. So these Moodle quizzes, I'm just over halfway through what I was planning to do. So I've got about 250 questions that I've written that test children's knowledge on mostly the theoretical aspects of the computing course. So it's A451. So there's questions there about binary logic and the such of the fundamentals of what a computer is, secondary storage. And these are questions that I've written based on a lot of the materials that are out there that where there's information available. Like I've looked at the Cambridge GCSE online MOOC and I've taken a lot of that content but turned it into questions. And the questions are things like, there'll be like a multiple choice question where they have to choose the answer that they think is the best one. There's some true or false, so it might say something like magnetic media is a great storage medium for portable applications because you can move it around a lot without damaging the data. It uses very little power, and they have to say whether that's true or false. So there's those kind of questions. And then I've got other questions where you have to match the words to the right descriptions. So it might have some images of logic gates and outcomes, and they have to match up the correct answers. So I haven't fully tested these yet. That's the point I'm at the moment, where we're going to be testing these. And the plan is that about every six lessons or so, they'll do one of these quizzes. And over time, I'll have like a reading for their... I'm trying to find the right word to say this, because I don't totally believe in what I'm doing. You know, I don't believe it's absolutely accurate, but it is some kind of a measure that I'm going to use, but I'm going to try and incorporate that with other things. So there's another project I've been working on as well. I worked out there's about 39 weeks in an academic year, and I decided to take the topics from A451 and try and divide them into 39 different topics. So that's something I've done within a document, and then in that document I've linked it to relevant pages in the Susan Robson book. So the Susan Robson book's been my favourite GCSE computing book that I've been using, but I've also linked it to content on the Cambridge GCSE Computing Online. So we've got the book and we've got the MOOC, and there's links to those. And each week I'm planning to tackle one topic at a time. So this is week one, and we're looking at the basic computer system model. And I've been setting homeworks for the children, as I've done in previous years, where they have a homework book and they have to write a minimum of notes, to draw some diagrams and doodles and explain what they understand from reading the materials. Now, another thing I wanted to mention that's current at the time of recording this podcast, I've been shortlisted to win an award, and it's called the TalkTalk Digital Heroes Award. Now, for all sorts of reasons, I've never really been one for, you know, going along with, hey, Alan's great, you know, get him down for an award for this. It kind of goes against the grain a little bit. But this award comes with some money. And I've been planning a project, which I'll mention in a few moments, called Jam Packed, which I need lots of money to run. And I'm really hoping if I can win the Digital Heroes Award, there's a sum of money that goes with that. I'm hoping to put that money into the jam-packed funding, which means I can do lots and lots of more activities, the kind of things that I've been doing at the moment. So I'll explain a little bit more in a minute. But on with the voting. So I don't know if you've already voted for me. If you have, that's great. If you're being pestered by me asking for votes, then I'm sorry. I don't mean to pester people. But I worked out a little bit of maths. I've got nearly 6,000 followers on Twitter. If I even get half of those, like maybe 2,500 to vote, that's probably going to be enough votes to actually win this competition. So I just thought maybe if I keep going on Twitter every so often asking people to vote for me, then that would help in some way. So if you're being pestered by those, I apologise, but if I do win, well, you'll be able to reap the benefits, hopefully. So they're the things that's happening currently. I had my first lesson with my new Year 10 GCSE computing class yesterday, which was Monday, and I had my first Year 11 lesson with my GCSE computing class, and I'll be reflecting on them in the next episode of this podcast. Now, I want to talk about the future. So I've reflected a little bit on the results. I've mentioned a little bit of things I'm currently working on. In the future, I'm hoping to start or launch a project starting in November called Jam Packed. Now, some of those people who listen to this podcast will know that I've about 3 or 4 years ago, 3 years ago, we held an event called Hack to the Future, and we've held quite a few of them since. And the idea of Hack to the Future is the digital creators of today, so web developers, hackers, computer scientists, they all come together and work with the computer scientists, web developers, the digital creators of tomorrow. So after forming Hack the Future, I then went on to start this thing called Raspberry Jam, which is to help people understand and unlock the potential of the Raspberry Pi. And that's grown and grown. In fact, that jam has now spread all around the world. That's my little jam joke, you see. And, I said jam, spread around the world. Anyway, so I'm planning to combine those, along with some of the other things that I've been doing the last year or two, into one big sort of festival, which we're calling Jam Packed. And the plan is that in November, we're going to have a roadshow where we're going to visit 18 different venues throughout the UK, and we're going to take Jam Packed with us. And we'll turn up at a school on a Friday with my entourage, and all the volunteers who are going to be working and supporting this. We'll put an event on at that school on the Friday, a Hack to the Future event, where we'll agree with the school what sort of children are likely to benefit most from this. So that will take place during the day. Now, if it's happening in a school down the road from you, but not in your school, I still want people to come along. You can either join us for the full day, or you might only be able to get out for, you know, half an hour or an hour or something. And then the other plan is that in the evening, we'll have another, like a hackathon. So we've run these a couple of times in the evening. That's where families come together, and they can be anybody. They don't have to be families that are exclusive to that school. So if you're a teacher down the road, bring your kids along, you know, and other members of your family, and hack along with us. And then the plan is on the Saturday, we're still at the same school, we open the school doors to hold a Raspberry Jam for anybody who can get to the school to come along and find out what you can do with your Raspberry Pi and tell other people. So that's jam-packed, and we're kind of pre-launch stage at the moment, but I realised I was going to need a huge amount of money to make this thing happen, so I went around knocking like that, yeah, on sound effects. Knocking on lots of doors, asking people for big pockets of money to make this thing happen. And the great news is, some of the people I've asked, well, in fact, all of the people I've asked for money so far have said yay. So here are some more details coming up about that in another episode. Now, part of this project, the Jam Packed, what I really want to do is I wanted to share as much as possible about teaching outstanding computing lessons. And in the last year, I started doing these online seminars where people could come and join me for, you know, a couple of hours online, and I would share some examples of coursework, explain how I'd mark them, how I'd teach them, all that kind of thing. And I'm just wondering whether this podcast in an audio format is now, whether it needs to change format and shift into a video seminar type idea. So one of the plans I've got is every week or every couple of weeks, one of the episodes would be an online version where
some people could come along and join in if they wanted. They could sit and watch, or they could contribute in some way. So it may be that I might start off by describing some of the things we've been doing in our lessons that week. Then people might want to ask questions about that, so I can answer that. And then it may be as well a little bit like an agony aunt column. People have got certain questions like, oh, Alan, I'm having a nightmare trying to mark A453. How have you been doing that? So that's what I'm thinking of doing next. But I'm turning it over you to say now, what do you think? Do you think that's a format that would work really well? I could do it in audio and video, but clearly if you've got the video version, then that, you're going to probably get more from that. It would be about half an hour long. The plan would be that we could maybe 1 week hold it on a Monday after school, maybe the following week, Friday morning, maybe a Wednesday lunchtime, a Saturday morning, a Sunday evening. So if it was on at different times, then different people could come in at different sessions. So it would be really good to hear from you whether you think that's something that you would find valuable and what kind of things you'd like to see in it. And you might even want to tell me that you wouldn't mind being in the first episode. You don't have to have your face on camera. It could just be your voice, or you could just type something in at the same time if you're a bit shy about being recorded in this. And so that's kind of where I'm up to at the moment. Let me just see. So we start off with a reflection on my GCSE computing results. Mentioned the current projects I'm on, writing quizzes, the document mapping the curriculum or the specification to the resources available, the digital hero. Vote for Alan! Vote for Alan! Vote for Alan! Please. And Jam Packed, which is this roadshow of 18 two-day festivals. 18 festivals in 2 days. Is that the same thing? I think it is. And get in touch if you want Jam Packed to come to your school. I will say, though, we're not planning on targeting schools where, you know, if you're in Cambridge or Oxford or London or Manchester, where there's already loads of things happening there, like coder dojos and code clubs and Raspberry Jams. We're really planning to go to places like Salford and Hull and Workington and Grimsby, where some people say the only thing that happens in some of those places is, well, they say that these kind of things don't happen there, and this is to try and help kickstart some of those. So, thank you very much. You've been listening to me, Alan O'Donoghue. I'm a teacher of computing at Our Ladies Catholic High School in Preston. I've just remembered. I'm doing a course in October and in November on a Monday, because I teach a GCSE computing class on a Monday, and some people said they wanted to come and watch me teach, so we're going to combine a GCSE computing CPD day with a chance to watch me teach in my GCSE computing class, my year 10. So if you want to know a little bit more about that, you can find that on my blog, which is teachcomputing.wordpress.com. And you'll also find some details on there about how to vote for Alan! Vote for Alan! Yay! Yeah, okay. So, thank you very much for listening. Oh, I don't believe it. I forgot something else I wanted to mention. I really, really meant to mention PyCademy. Yeah, PyCademy, if you've been curled up in a cave or buried under a bush or something, you may not have noticed that the most amazing CPD to ever take place has been happening in Cambridge at the headquarters of the Raspberry Pi, led by Carrie-Anne Philbin and other members of the education team at the Raspberry Pi. I've had lots of friends that have gone along. I'm really jealous because I've not been yet. But people say that it's the best CPD that they've ever been on, and it's free, completely free. Well, almost completely, because you have to get to Cambridge, you have to find somewhere to sleep, maybe bring a bivy bag and sleep in a field, or they have a very nice Hilton hotel down by the river, so choose where you're going to stay. But apart from that, it's pretty much free, and you come back with a big bag full of swag, lots of great stuff. You might even get a Raspberry Pi. If you want to know more about PyCademy, do a search online, type in PyCademy, or go to Twitter, hashtag PyCademy, and you'll find out all about it. There's one happening almost imminently. So, thank you, and bye.